Hey everyone, welcome to the Wit Girls podcast. I'm your host, Lise Rasmussen. And with me most of the times is my co-host, Christina Gibson. This show is focused on SharePoint and Office 365, where we share news and our own experiences from working with this daily. And we believe that sharing is caring. Let's get this show started. Welcome to episode 30. It's the 6th of December and we came home yesterday from the European SharePoint Conference, which was held in the beautiful city of Prague this year. As always, a very well organized conference by the ESP crew. I'm impressed by how well they perform these conferences, and they always make you feel very welcome. And they are always like happy faces, willing to assist when you're lost in the conference center, stressed out, trying to find the room for your session. But it's just overall a super good feeling about this conference. That's kind of hard to describe. I think you should go there to feel it. And if you are like us, SharePoint lovers, then this conference is for you. Of course, they also cover other things like OneDrive, Teams, Power Apps, Azure, and Power Automate and stuff, but for me this conference is where my heart is, which is SharePoint, which should come to no surprise to you who listen to this podcast. So I will first talk a bit about the sessions, and in the middle me and Christina are doing a wrap-up together from the conference, and last but certainly not least is an interview with our love Heather Newman. Oh, she is amazing, this woman. I haven't known her for very long, but it feels like it's years because she's so open and easy to talk to. She has so much interesting things to say and important things to say. And we are so happy and proud and honored to have you as a guest in our podcast. So thank you so much, Heather Newman. So at the conference, there was 2,000 plus attendees this year, which is an amazing number. And the conference starts with a one-day workshop, and then it continues with 3 days of keynotes and breakout sessions. And in the evenings, there's always something going on, raffles, and there are parties and so on. And of course, you have the expo hall open, and you can go around and meet the vendors and sponsors and all those people, and just mingle and network, because that's one of the most important things with these conferences, is that you meet up with people and make connections. So on Tuesday morning, the keynote was held by Mr. Jeff Tepper, and he had his SharePoint green t-shirt and the OneDrive shoes on. He's just great on stage, and there are so many announcements, and I won't repeat them here. I will add a link in show notes, but the biggest news I think this year is of course Project Cortex, that's coming next year. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. Christina and I went to that session, which was super special, and we're gonna talk about that a little bit later on. One thing though at the end of the keynote on the Tuesday morning there was that in the middle of that keynote, there was an announcement in the Whova app. The Whova app is a conference app. That the Teams keynote with Caruana Agatimu would start in another room. So, of course, half the audience just went up and left for that session. And me too, actually, because I wanted to see this Teams news and her presentation. I've heard that it's going to be good, so everybody left just right in the middle. There was a guy on stage showing us office scripts, and it was really interesting to listen to, and oh, I felt sorry for him. Everybody just got up and left. I don't think he took it like that, but it felt bad to leave in the middle of an interesting keynote. So we went to another room, and it was not as big as where we had the keynote, so it got fully packed. It was super hot and people were sitting on the floor, along the walls. I was lucky to get a seat quite far in the front so I could see Caruana, and she held the best presentation about Microsoft Teams. And what I liked about her session is that she doesn't only show the news, she shows also the actual functions and features that exist in Teams today. And I think that was really cool. We have a lot of exciting features already. And sometimes we need to get like reminded of what we already can do. And so that was very useful. My favorites that exist already now is the Meet Now button, which I think is very useful. And the full calendar view and meeting options that you have a full canvas in there. The blur background button. Maybe you are having the meeting somewhere where you need to like hide the background. That's a good option. And I also like that it's quite fast to switch between organizations. Oh yeah, you have to sign in between. Some news that will be fun coming to Teams are the option to add in the background during a meeting. So if you sit at a customer or maybe somewhere where you want to hide the background, you can choose an image like a beach or something. Really cool. And as when she demoed now, you can't add your own images yet, but I'm sure you can that soon. So that will be a cool feature. The pop-out windows, super useful. That you can instantiate the Teams window, the app, the desktop app then. So pop out the meeting and have the channels and documents and stuff open in the background while you're running the meeting. So you can switch between the windows. Super useful also. I won't discuss private channels. We talked about that in the last episode. I'll just shortly review some of the breakout sessions that I really liked. The Intelligent Internet by Dan Holm and Rachel Lambert. This was a session on how you can transform your internet into a rich, modern employee experience with the personalization, with home sites, and activating all those beautiful features. They did a lot of demos. I like those demo intense sessions rather than looking at PowerPoint slides. And in the middle of Rachel's demo, her computer wanted to do a Windows update. Whoops. So the screen went black and we had to wait for a few minutes for Dan to fix her computer. I felt sorry for her, but that's the demo ghost and nothing that we can't fix. I mean, no one thinks this is strange or anything. It's just, it happens, you know. And that was a perfect opportunity for questions. So we've all fired away. And I had a question about the branding options for the mega menu through the UI, not just by script. I know you can do it by script. But you know, you can set your custom theme in the UI on that change to look panel. And I would love to have like more mega menu options in there that it at least follows the custom theme. So I have like this red theme in my home site now, but when I open the mega menu, it's just white with the black text. So that was a bit meh, that's boring. I would like to have that in also in maybe a lighter red. And I asked about this, but I don't think that this is something that's gonna come soon. Christina asked about a translation button that we saw, and this is fun when you watch demos when these guys are running because they have all these preview things visible already. And she saw that translation button, and so this is connected to the new translation options that's coming to intranets that you can have up in the right corner. You can switch between different languages, so when you come into a page, if you choose, for instance, now it's only like Chinese, Spanish and all that major languages, but if you switch to that, you will also get the buttons and everything will be in that language. And if there is a translated page, that text is shown. If it's not a translated page, it will show the default page. But I guess we have to wait for the Swedish one. And they also show this, the SharePoint lookbook, found at lookbook.microsoft.com. And there you'll find the different layout options, take inspiration, build the sites according to one you like. And now you can also add them directly to your tenant. So there's a button there that will provide a new site in your tenant straight from that site. How cool is that? And then you can of course modify it as you wish. Another great session was held by Bert Jansson about the modernizing scanner tool. And this is something that you can download from a site, and I will add the link in the show notes. So when your sites are migrated into SharePoint Online and they are in classic mode, this tool will analyze those sites, and I mean now site collections when I'm talking sites, and that tool can then report on what needs to be modernized on this classic site. And after that, you can then run some commands to modernize it from the tool, you know, like modernizing pages, lists, and libraries. Super useful, and something I'm gonna have to use next year when we are migrating quite a large installation from SharePoint on-prem 2019 to online next year. So that will be helpful for us to identify, because like Bat asked in the audience, who has full control over their SharePoint farm? And I think there was one person raising his hand. If you have a large SharePoint server farm with lots of sites and site collections, you can't keep track of what the users are doing or how each site is set up and so on. So then this tool is fantastically useful. But I will add the link in the show notes, so download that tool already today if you're going to migrate. On Wednesday afternoon, I visited Susan Hanley's session about planning navigation for your intranet and talking about hubs and all that, and the new thing they're talking about, associated hubs. So you can have several hubs and now you can associate them also together, which is super cool. And she is just an amazing speaker. And I thought first, how can you talk about navigation for an hour? And I realized that we can talk many hours about navigation. And it's not only of that, of course, it's only about the hubs and so on. I agreed on everything she said about how you should organize the menus and how you should set up the mega menu. So the top level should not have uppercase, that looks bad. But it is good to use uppercase for your headers on level 2, because they are used for grouping the links together. And if it's uppercase, you just know that you don't click them, they are not linked to any content. And I've used that setup myself in my intranet that I built. And then, of course, the links on third level should be in all case, and maybe in alphabetical order could be a nice suggestion, unless you want to have them in importance order. That could also be good. Use labels that makes sense so people understand what they should click on. The menus are used to guide and help users to find information. And she also mentioned that the global navigation might be removed. You know, the one that's on a local site, you have the home, site contents, documents and pages and stuff. And that could be removed, at least it's being discussed. And I totally like that, because I always remove the site contents and the document and pages links, because I don't think they bring any value. And you have, first you have the mega menu, and then you have the global navigation, and then maybe you have the hero. So you have a lot of levels on the navigation there, and for me, I think just using the mega menu and the hero is enough to promote content and use those two places to add links to valuable information. And Susan is funny to listen to and very experienced, so she knows her stuff, and it's always interesting to hear her take on information architecture. On the last day, I went to Vesa Juvonen's keynote about developing solutions on the Microsoft 365 platform. He rocked the socks, of course. It's so cool and funny that he always removes his shoes and just walking barefoot on stage. It tells a bit about his personality, I think. He seems like a very nice and down-to-earth person. So they showed cool demos of apps built using the graph and so on, and he had Jeremy Thake and more on stage, and this is not my territory, so I won't refer too much about what they talked about, but I'm super interested to learn more about this. Laura Kukarinen showed site scripts, and that I've done myself, so that was more easy to follow, and that was also a super cool demo. Each year, ESPC arrange a special, lovely, cozy Women in Tech lunch. They have a special host, and this year it was lovely Mary Rodriguez, who works as a storyteller at Microsoft. And does she know how to tell a story? Yes, she does. And she told us her story in a very interesting and moving way on how she came from nothing to the US and then started working for Microsoft, and how she turned that into a positive experience. And like she said, own your own story and background and choose your audience and think about who you want to impact with your story. And I had the luxury of being seated at the table with fabulous people like Caruana, Heather, Tracy, Susan Hanley and more. Just a fantastic lunch mixed with emotions and a glass of wine. This year was a bit extra special for me also because I debuted as a community reporter. So thank you Christian Buckley and Tracy and all on ESPC for having me as a reporter. Unfortunately, I did not have time to interview anyone as I was in sessions all day, but I participated in a wrap-up session on Wednesday afternoon. So I was a bit nervous because it's first time in front of the camera and a bit exhausted after two intense days, but I think it went quite well. So it was me and Jeff Willinger and Erica Tolley who had this session. And it was just super fun and I really enjoyed it. And I will link to the episode in the show notes if you want to see it. And do watch all the other videos from ESPC. They are super interesting. I was also nominated in the ESPC Awards. They have several categories and one is Best Community Contribution. And I was one of four finalists in that one, which I was very excited about. And I knew I had too strong competition and I don't even think I'm worthy in that category, but and I didn't win either, so. And it was Meetux who won it, so congratulations to you, well deserved. And I was not so disappointed, I thought I already had won, but just being nominated, but my friends were quite upset. But thank you ESPC for having me as a finalist, I'm very grateful for that, thank you. I will now switch over to the wrap-up that me and Christina did from the conference in Prague. We are really enjoying it. What do you say, Christina?
Yeah, I just love it. We met so many fantastic people around here and socializing and been to a lot of sessions. For my part and also for your part because we've been at almost the same sessions. It's been a lot about SharePoint, which is close to our heart.
Close to our hearts. Yeah. And the one tracks I follow the most are the ones related to SharePoint.
Yeah.
And I mean, there are Teams and there are Azure also sessions in this. And some Power Apps and Flow.
Not so much that I was expected, actually.
No, a little bit surprised.
Yeah.
Maybe they are more at Ignite, where they cover the whole Microsoft 365 package. And we watched PowerShell today with Vlad.
That was one of the best sessions ever.
Yes, yeah. It was early in the morning. Yeah. And he just woke me up, like, with his energy. And he's so funny and hilarious. And he loves to do this.
Yeah, and you and I were actually going to the spa in the morning.
Fail,
but then
we
saw Vlad is on stage. Let's go.
Yeah, we chose Vlad over spa. What have you watched today, Kristina? What session? Except
today,
for Vlad.
Yeah, Vlad, PowerShell, of course. And then we went to see a session where you could transform a classic site to modern site.
Yeah, we went to that
with
one.
With a couple of great tools. So he showed how to transform a classic page just
into
a few
a
seconds.
Modern. And using this tool.
Yeah. My key takeaway is also PowerShell and the need for PNP.
PNP, yes.
As well, because with PowerShell you get to a certain level, but with PNP you can come down to nitty gritty and list an item level. So you need to have the skills for both of those frameworks.
Yeah, and it was Erwin who has designed these PNP scripts, and he was also there in the session.
Yeah. Something that I get back to from the keynote was stream, when you can reduce the noise.
Yeah, the background noise reduces.
That was really fantastic. Oh,
this is so cool because when you do like we do now, we sit somewhere where that someone is doing the vacuum cleaning behind us, we could just remove
switch
that noise.
It on. Yeah. I mean, that was amazing.
Hello, AI. I love AI. It's like getting everywhere. And Project Cortex is, of course, about AI and machine.
That's a nice switch.
Teaching. Yeah. Nice transition. I think it's so interesting and fascinating. And it's AI and machine teaching.
And what do we love with it?
Yes, it's metadata.
Metadata.
Yes. Yeah. And also this, that it's not just one thing with Project Cortex. It's like really many things. Yeah. The topic cards, where you get like explanations of acronyms. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you click on that, you get into this, that's
Knowledge
releasing.
Center, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's been releasing next year. It's the first half next year this is coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like he said, we don't know if this is going to be the name yet. It's like, it's also new or subject to change, of course, before it's rolling out, so we cannot say that it's going to be that name, but he showed kind of like a new document center site template that you use, and there you train your documents and
to
or
read.
Teach
with
AI power-ups. Engine. Yeah,
is what they showed. You can have this automate.
Scan, yeah.
Was it automate, he said, on the label?
Yeah.
And he also said, well,
the AI builder.
Yeah, AI builder.
Yes,
sort of
the AI builder.
Yeah.
And that you have a link
model
to.
Building.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you run it like in a model.
Mm.
So you build the model using AI.
Yeah.
And so he showed like you upload a bunch of documents, and then inside those documents you have like a header with all different fields, like addresses and account numbers, project numbers and stuff. And then this AI engine learns that and then applies that automatically to similar documents.
Mm.
But I still haven't got my head around how does it really work in reality, you know? Is there going to be one site or several sites? Or is this one giant site for everything? Like,
I mean, he showed us one site collection.
Yes, it
but
is.
But he said it could be a content type hub in the future where you can push all these content types that will be created from that model.
Yeah, and the content type gallery is moving into SharePoint Admin Center.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So they, and it belongs there.
Yeah.
Because
so
I don't think
the hub, it's the gallery, right?
It's gallery. Yeah. It's a content type gallery.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's really, I think that makes more sense to have it in there.
But I was a little bit sad about seeing the documents. I mean, now, do you still use documents that you scan?
Or it feels like old technology. But I think there are many out there still doing that paperwork, you know.
So what about power-ups and digital forms where you sort of enter everything and don't need to scan.
And I wanted to ask also, what about content that lays in folders that's not tagged? Will that not then be included in this whole knowledge? Because what it does, Cortex, is that it scans your entire Microsoft 365 platform, the entire tenant, and to roll it up to some knowledge center using metadata tags and content. But how does it work if you have no tagged content? You're like, you have files in a folder, like, you know, we hate, but people do. So what about that? Will that index also inside documents?
I mean, it seemed like you have to have some kind of administration roles, which are sort of gathering this together. It's not just AI and the graph.
No, need to have a manual
someone who
handling also.
That's what he said, the content owner, or the knowledge workers.
Or administrators, something.
Who knows their content and how they want to tag it.
Yeah.
And how they want to display it. If it's an acronym, for example, should that be an acronym which is doesn't lead anywhere, or shall it lead to this new knowledge center?
Right. And also one thing to be said regarding that site where things are rolling up, it's like on Wikipedia. Yes, it's automatically rolled up, but you can always go in and click edit and manually edit the things inside.
Yeah, so let's move on.
Let's move on. So we are tonight going to the ESPC party at the Sasazoo Club. Yay!
Looking forward to it.
But thank you for now, Christina.
Yeah, thank you.
And talk to you later.
Lisa.
So now we are here with lovely Heather Newman, podcast host of Mavens Do It Better. We love that podcast. Welcome, Heather.
Yay.
Welcome, Heather.
Thank you. It's so good to be with you, too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We would let you introduce a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, we have been here for a couple of days at the European SharePoint Conference, and we're here in Prague, and I have had breakfast with you two every morning so far.
We really enjoyed it.
Which I am so thankful for. Hello, wonderful listeners of the Wit Girls podcast. I my name is Heather Newman, and I usually live in Marina Del Rey, California. And yes, I am the host of Mavens Do It Better, my podcast. And then I run Content Panda as a chief marketing officer and co-founder. And then I also own Creative Maven, marketing consultancy firm. Mm-hmm. I'm a Microsoft MVP and gal about town. As they say, you know.
Yeah. I'm so amazed by your energy. You seem to have time to do it all. How do you get all these things together? I can just say now, during this conference, when I'm having this little assignment as being a community reporter,
right,
totally like stressing me out.
Oh.
And you also experience, I know that. But how do you manage to be everywhere and do everything
goodness.
And travel?
It's a bit of a juggling act, that's for sure. And there's a saying. So I was a theater major, and there's a saying in theater, if you put up some smoke and mirrors, you kind of don't see what's behind the screen. Yeah. But no, I have help. I have a great team that supports me with what I do. So I definitely have that. So I don't do it by myself. So that's a big part of it. And I'm learning more and more to delegate over the years and trying to do that. And my team has been forcing me to do that a little bit more. I've always had a lot of energy. That's part of just who I am as a person. I've always been an extrovert. And I really, I get a lot of energy from other people and by speaking and those sorts of things. So that definitely feeds me. But there are moments and days when you will catch me at my home, not speaking to anybody, binge watching, you know, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a balance, you know. You have to have things in your life that you're passionate about outside of work. And hopefully those things are more healthy than not. You know, I meditate, I journal.
Yeah.
I have a trainer. I, you know, work out and, you know, those sorts of things. And I like to take walks on the beach and get outside. You have to do that stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm learning to say no a little bit more.
That's hard.
That's hard. And that's so important that you say that.
Yeah.
I've always been a yes sayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always felt like I can't say no because then they might not come back again.
Absolutely.
But they do.
You know what? They do and they will.
Yeah.
You know?
And then I learned to say, I'm not saying no. I'm just saying, I can't do this now. I love to help you.
Yes. Not in the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I've always been like that. Yes. Ruining myself and wanting to help, you know. And I discovered it's only myself I'm ruining it.
Yeah.
And it might not be the most efficient way either.
Mm-hmm, I agree. Like my team and I, we talked a little bit this year about, well, not just the recent past, about, you know, when I'm asked to do something, I tend to say yes or I squirrel. And, you know, it's like, yeah, oh, my God, that's amazing. Yeah. And, you know, that maybe it would be better to have a committee of us, my team, and say, hey, y'all, this is what I've been asked to do. What do you think? Does it fit into the schedule? Does it make sense with the brand? Does it make sense with what we're trying to do? Does it fit into the plan that we have? Mm. Or is it going to throw everything off?
Mm.
You know, and even things that seem sort of innocuous of like a blog post or a webinar or, you know, things that, you know, and sometimes you're hopefully getting, you know, paid for those things, depending, you know, if they're community stuff, you're not. And if it's for my MVP, no, but like other things, sometimes, you know, you get paid for that kind of stuff. And it's like, where does it fit? Mm. How does it fit?
Mm.
And just simply, does it fit, you know, in within what you're doing?
Mm.
And me making those decisions just by myself is not fair to my team either, because it throws them off and what they have to deal with and are planning for. So I'm trying to be, you know, more thinking larger about not just sort of me being like, yes, I want to do that because it's cool. But does this serve, and how is this going to affect the other people in my life and on my team?
Important.
Yeah.
It's very clever thoughts and like trying to stay a little bit focused on what you want to deliver.
Yeah, and conscientious.
Yes.
You know, like what my life affects other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and the people that work with me, for me, around me, you know, and all of that. And when I make decisions, it puts balls in motion, and is it the right way, you know?
Mm.
And I'm trying to be more conscious of that.
Mm.
I have a hard time stopping and thinking before doing. I say yes as well.
Yeah.
Really quick. And trying to squeeze everything into one schedule, and it's just going to take 2 hours, but...
Yeah.
Never does.
Oh, no. The can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
I got to run something by you.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Any of that stuff? Like,
yeah.
I've written
that's
about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you know, the doctor isn't always in.
Mm-mm.
you know, like I gotta hang the sign up and be like, you know, and also you have to value your own time, because then other people will value your time too, you know, and as consultants, we're all in the consultant game and have been, you know, there's a lot of people who expect things for free all the time, you know, and it's, there's a circle in my life that get that because they also, it's reciprocal, you know, but more often than not, people want your time and your energy, and there's only so much of it that you have, right? Time and good health are things that you never get back.
That's true.
And you're here at the speaking, of course, as this the European Chaplain Conference that we're at.
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about your session? I'm so sorry I missed it today. I had time to see it. And
it's okay.
I can't wait for this live wrap up session. I'm going to be in later.
You're busy too, doing wonderful things here. So
trying to like keep my calm, thinking mindfulness, breathe.
Yes.
You know. Sometimes I do that now. I just take a deep breath and.
Oh, that's...
And it certainly helps.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Especially when we take photos now.
Oh, yeah.
Your tip.
I was telling the photographer friend of mine gave me this tip a long time ago that when you're trying to take a photo, that right before you click the shutter, even on the phone, that you like you hold your breath because it makes you still for that moment. And so you won't jiggle. So,
exactly.
Yeah,
so I used that today and it turned into a nice picture.
Yeah.
We'll get there, I'm sure.
Practice makes perfect in taking pictures and selfies, that's for sure. Oh my goodness.
No, but back to your sessions here.
Yeah.
So you had this women in tech networking.
So there's a few things going on. I've been involved with the Women in Tech Luncheon session since it started, since its inception in 2015, when we did it in Stockholm.
Yeah,
I was the first keynote for that. Tracy O'Connell had asked, and it was awesome and super fun, and I was very, I'm still thankful for that opportunity, and went on and I did another one, and Kara Wanagatimu, who Microsoft Love Teams, who's amazing. Mm-hmm. She did one. Donna Sakar, who is, you know, Windows Insider and now Power Addicts, and she's been here. And then Mary Rodriguez was here today. And so for me, for today, Mary was the keynote for lunch, and it really just being there as support and as I guess alumni. Who've done it before, being there to like shout out to our sister, being like, yay, you go girl, you know, was awesome. So that was fun to see her. And she was brilliant. And just, you know,
I love her story.
Sharing stories.
She's a storyteller.
She's a storyteller. Yeah. And that's what she does for Microsoft. And she's wonderful. And I like, we were, a bunch of us were talking, and it was so great because, you know, it's like, I think that we all look to the giants and the greats, you know, when we're sort of looking for inspiration. And I loved seeing so much of her sort of authentic self. And then that was married with, you know, I'm like, ooh, I'm feeling a little Brené Brown, and ooh, we're feeling a little Oprah, and we're feeling a little you know, like in that. Mm-hmm. And Alcia Loesch, who's a good friend and has been on the podcast, she brought that up. And I was like, totally. Like, and we do that, you know, it's like, why not, you know, talk about people that are inspire us and say great things and guide us and all of that. So it was awesome. So it was really fun to be there. And there was men and women and everybody. And it was a beautiful room, too.
Yeah, beautiful room.
That's always nice, and the food was good, so that's always good. I don't know about that, but yeah, I had like just one. But anyway, and then I went into my session. And so Tracy's also, so last year Carolina and I did workshops where we did them in the community theater. And I talked to Tracy, and she was like, yeah, we'd love to have you do them again. I was like, great. And she's like, ooh, let me put them in the actual session so they get into the schedule and then the app.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
Because I think many missed out when you were
last year.
Listening.
Yeah.
I was also very moved by your stories and how you talked and everything. So I think it's good that you come into the schedule so people don't miss out.
Yeah, I do too. And that's been a nice shift with many conferences where they're bringing diversity and inclusion or leadership or executive business sessions tracks into up and against the technical stuff, you know, because I mean, I think it's important. And we've had packed rooms both times and lots of people asking questions. And
the women in lunch today was packed.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was packed. Yeah, and last night
sorry,
a guy.
I missed it.
Yeah.
I missed you.
A fellow sought me out last night and at one of the events, and he was like, "I was in the session." I was like, "Yeah, I remember you." And he's like, "You do?" And I was like, "Yeah." I'm like, "I can see you." You know, like what? And he was like, I feel like I want to work on this stuff, and I'm trying to figure out how I get my team and other people on my level." And so we had a nice conversation about that. And I think that's the case of a lot of people, you know, sometimes they'll want to make a change or do something different. And they're looking at, you know, all this sort of obstacles or old ways of thinking or
getting some tools.
So we talked a bit about that. And I was like, I said, reach out to me. I said, I'd be happy to, you know, give you some more stuff and point you to some blogs I've written. Because I write pretty extensively about toxic workplaces and fear and
I've
all of that. Important to me. So I try to write enough to where I have a resource where I can be like, oh, it's this one, go read that or go listen to this or a podcast or that kind of thing. But I think leadership and then mentoring and networking are the ones that we've been concentrating on at this conference. And I think it's, you know, they're different, but they're definitely sort of in the same vein, if you will, and are all power skills. There's a really cool poem that I love that a woman who is actually running for president in the United States. Yeah. So I found this poem from her before she was running for president, but it's Marianne Williamson.
Yeah.
And she's wonderful. And I've gone to a couple of her seminars and I've met her a couple of times. And it's kind of all about, you know, it's called Our Greatest Fear. And it's in a nutshell, it's sort of like our greatest fear isn't, you know, the darkness in us, but it's our light. Who are we to be fabulous, gorgeous, talented? And she
That's
says,
so true.
Who are we not to be?
Yeah.
By playing small, we're only doing ourselves an injustice.
Yes.
And if we play small, then everybody around us can't be influenced by us to also be themselves, right? And I read that poem. I have it in a journal that I keep with me, a gratitude journal that I write in every morning, and I read it to myself because I have been, I've had problems in the past with being larger than life, by having opinions, by not everybody likes I'll say superstar, okay, or whatever, or shiny people, or whatever. And you get the people who are like, oh yeah, I'm gonna put that light out and I'm gonna put my thumb on it, right? And that's how you lose jobs and get fired and you know, that kind of stuff. And unfortunately, you know, it's not always women treating other women nicely either. You know?
I've had the most conflicts I've had in my work career has been with other women, that they cannot stand competition, or if you are maybe a little bit smarter at technical things, they see you as a threat, and they will drag you.
That's the one.
Well, and I think jealousy. Basic, utter jealousy and ego and fear. And instead of lifting somebody up next to you and being like, you're awesome, let's be awesome together, it's like, oh, you're a threat, I'm going to take you down.
Yeah. Can I say something, not to generalize, but I think it's overall American people are very good at hyping each other, lifting up each other, and saying nice things to each other. I think in Europe, you know how the audience is here, like, yay.
They're a little bit more subdued.
Or maybe Scandinavian, because in southern parts, like, they're more fiery.
But you know, this to hype one another, we are very bad at that, where I come from, in Sweden at least. But when I worked in Denmark, they were a little bit better. They could say, like, hey, you did a good thing today. And I'm like, what? Are you saying that in front of the colleagues also? What? That's so cool.
Yeah, right.
But Swedes are very bad at that. They can tell you in a discreet direct message.
One-on-one?
One-on-one, but not so much promoting you in front of
them. Right.
It's
I'm very generalizing here now.
Yeah, sure.
Everyone is deaf.
But it's like in teams, when praise king or kudos, it's like, how are we going to use this? Because we don't have the tools and we don't have a... we're not used to it.
Right.
So, because does the other person want me to give him a praise?
Yeah. Right.
In public?
Yeah. You know.
Where should we put it? Do we need to ask HR for permission? You know?
No, right. Because you don't want to mess up. And because you could do something that embarrasses somebody. You don't ever want to do that either, you know? So it's like... Yeah, it's like my... la, you know, like some people are like, oh my goodness, you know, like, wow, that's, yeah. you know, like, I thank you, but that's too much, you know, which
it's
is
fine
it's
too.
True. Yes. Yeah. And it, yeah. yeah, I mean, it's cultural, but it's also, you know, like some people are much more just.
But like Miriam said today, when you did that, she was like, yay, this is the audience I want. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Heather, you did that. All day yesterday
Fantastic.
When we sat in sessions, we were like woohoo and clapping. And I mean,
yeah.
if I stood on stage, I would be like, yay, when someone did that to me.
Yeah.
So, instead of a dead audience.
Yeah. That comes from my being a theater person.
Mm. Yeah.
And an audience. You know, I've had friends way back in the day. They're like, you can come to my play as many times as you want, because it is. It's to me, anytime when you're on stage in an audience, it's a symbiotic relationship. Mm-hmm. One doesn't exist without the other.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? And I think that, do you have to whoop it up and woohoo and all that stuff all day long? No, but I think that, to me, I want somebody to know that I appreciate what they're doing, and
Absolutely.
So I will be vocal about it in some way.
And
not to interrupt or take focus, but to just give a little
energy, boop, boop.
Yeah, because that energy exchange is so cool and powerful when it happens, you know?
It is.
I wonder if it's because we are Lutherans in Sweden, you know, where you went to church. You were not allowed to say anything. It was just like sitting in a bench, no singing, no nothing.
Right.
Unless you,
that could
I mean,
be. That
so
could
something
be.
That is
yeah.
in our spine.
It's inherited down.
Yeah, and
yeah.
it's like, if the teacher speaks,
yes.
be quiet.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Quiet
yeah.
yeah.
Be seen and not
yeah.
heard. And
never
that.
Been challenged at school. You know, okay, Lisa, get up there and talk in front of the teacher. Tell a story.
Right.
I mean, every kid would die if a teacher asked them to do this.
Really?
And I guess you do that in the U.S., don't
oh,
you?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, all the time.
Public
you're called
speaking.
On.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're called on. You got to stand up and answer.
That's so cool because it challenges you and all of a sudden you don't find it frightening anymore. But
yeah, that's,
we
yeah.
never
I didn't.
Have to do that.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
No. Huh. If we go to private schools.
Yeah,
know.
And I went to theater school for 2 years. So then, of course, we had to do improvisation.
Sure.
But that was terrifying when I started.
Yeah.
You know, like standing there, I felt so small. That feeling comes up sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Like now today when I'm going to do, I feel like my insecurity comes forward. And
oh, you're
going to
do it just great.
Public speaking is, to this day, up there with like people's fear of like snakes, spiders, sharks.
Yeah.
No, seriously. I mean,
it's
if you look at that, it's that adrenaline rush of
the
like,
brain.
Oh my goodness, you know, like this is the most terrible thing ever. You
that
know,
stress hormone.
Yeah, and so and it's something we don't practice necessarily either. You know what I mean? And so that's the other thing. Like I used to get. I mean, I could be on stage and be a character, and then my moving into technology after college. I'm very comfortable on stage, but until I learned enough about technology, I wouldn't speak because I was like, somebody is going to ask me a question and I'm going to be shown to be the fraud that I am. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like,
yeah,
it's somebody's going to call my bluff.
Yeah, it's imposter syndrome, right? It's like, you know, and for a long time, I've told this story before, but I would say, you know, people would be like, oh, where are you from? What do you do? Blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, oh, I'm just a theater major. I was just a theater major. My theater major is one of my greatest assets and makes me different, you know?
Yeah.
But for a while, and I had my ex, it was my ex-husband who actually pointed it out to me, who was also a theater major. He was like, you know, you do that, right? And I was like, what? And he was, and I was like, no.
Just
he was like,
the just.
Yeah, he did. And he was like, Heather, that's what gives you an edge. That's what makes you different. That's what makes people
true.
Go, oh, she has those bananas ideas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was a good comment from him to remind me of that.
So good of a man to bring up his woman, I think. And like say, you shouldn't just minimize yourself.
He may be my ex-husband, but he's one of the best people on the planet.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? And that was a great comment from him. Yeah, absolutely.
I lose my self-esteem because I haven't been in the technical business for such a long time as everybody else. Lisa, you've been in for ages.
Yeah.
But then I have skills from the business because I've been sitting on the business side, which I take in. But looking to others that's been in SharePoint, for example, for 10, 20 years, I mean, I feel like, I don't know anything.
Yeah.
You know tons. I feel like the community is so strong. And I also feel like I've seen a shift and felt a shift over time of it, like really in the past, there was some of this, you know, like, oh, do you know, like, or like people challenging each other. And I do think that happens some, but I also feel like you could put something up on Yammer, Twitter, LinkedIn, or whatever, and be like, or the Microsoft tech community, right? And be like, I'm having a problem with this, or I don't understand this. I mean, half the time, I'm like, I was like, I'm looking for a headset that works and that doesn't suck, right? Yeah. And you know, I was like, I don't have time to do the research. I don't want to do the research. I just want somebody to tell me what to buy. Right. Yeah, yeah. And so I did. And I got all the great information, you know, and nobody was like, why don't you, Heather Newman, MVP, know what, blah, 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 blah. Like, and if somebody did that anyway, I'd be like, you're a jerk. And I'm never going to talk to you again, you know?
Right.
But if I have a question about BI, you know, that I can't answer or I don't understand, I know that I can go to John Patrick White and be like, hey, man, what's up? Can you tell me about this? And, you know, if I have a certain question about, you know, different things, I know people to talk to about it. And the thing is I don't even have to know them. I could put that up as anybody on the Microsoft tech community and add a question. And I think anybody that would ever be like, dude, that's a stupid question, they're going to get yelled at by everybody else on the community and being like, shut up, you know, because that's not how we how we roll.
No, that's
you know what I mean? Or how that's not how we want to roll, I don't think, you know?
We want to help. And everybody wants to contribute as much as they can. And if I know answer to something, I'm happy to glean and
absolutely.
Write.
Yeah.
And I think that's important for these communities here. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I found. Yeah.
Yeah, and lose that fear of asking stupid questions.
Yeah.
Because there are really no stupid questions.
I agree with you.
Yeah. And if someone says it, like, block them or unfollow or something.
And if there is once in a while, whatever, who cares? Yeah. Like, I ask people questions sometimes, and I'm just like, you know, I can't remember,
do.
I don't, whatever.
Please.
Yeah, you know, but it's
call
like, humor me. Yeah, I know. Like, I try to be on, you know, 150%, but sometimes it's 80, and you're going to have to deal with me, okay? You know?
And especially now in this Microsoft 365 world, there are so many silos, you know, to be expert in, and we can manage all that. It's obvious that you need to focus on a few things and make that correct. And maybe
a little bit and maybe be better.
Totally. Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. You know what? People are super impressive. You know, like, I'm always so impressed with people who I just, you know, they, you know, some people have real photographic memories for things too.
Yeah.
You know, some people like are very visual and very just like, they like memorize stuff and they like can just regurgitate that kind of thing. Some people really are architects and they are really truly architecting things. You do that a lot with your information architecture, with your, you know, and you're doing, you know, these deployments where you're figuring things out with the file shares and all that stuff. We talked about that today. And
education tenant.
So, you know, and I work with people on end user adoption and how they put together a team's, you know, and their channels on doing an adoption campaign or you know, and so we all have our different strengths and things, and and you're learning all the time, you know, from going to sessions like at these events, you know, and also watching things online, and that's
we should
cool.
Use it and embrace it and help each other.
Yeah.
I think this community is actually really very good at this.
I agree.
Rarely see someone being
a jerk.
No.
And if they are, they get called out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know.
Get rid of those idiots.
Yeah. Pretty much. So.
So
yeah.
Heather, how long are you staying in Prague? Do you get to see something?
Yeah, I'm staying through the weekend, so I'm really excited. I've never been here, and I just decided I'm going to the Modern Workplace Conference in Paris after this, Sasha Bjørndorf and I are doing. We're doing a session together on end user adoption, and it's what is it called? It's called if. Facebook didn't need adoption, why does Office 365?
Wonderful.
Yeah, which we probably need to work on today. But anyway, so I'm doing that. And then, I'm going to, I think I was saying in the session, it was like, it's kind of like people sent me, I put up on Facebook, I was like, hey, I'm going to Prague, tell me where to go, you know, and it was right? And I was like, oh my goodness, and there's like 20 things.
Yep.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to pick three.
Yeah.
And there's one that is an absolute. I love Alphonse Mucha, Art Nouveau, and I definitely want to do that. And the rest, I'm like, I'll see the castle and the clock.
Down.
Other than that, I don't care. You know, honestly, because I want to take some time and sit in cafes and do some writing and watch the world go by and do that.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Completely.
Relax a bit.
Yeah.
Because you're in between two
Yes.
things.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you need to rest your mind also.
Agreed.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh my goodness. Are you kidding? I love you too. And you know, the ladies were on my podcast and I was I'm happy to return the favor. So
thank you very much.
And Wit Girls podcast listeners, big smooches and yay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
If you like our podcast, we would be so happy if you would spread the episode in any social media. And please go into iTunes or Podcaster and rate us so that more listeners can find us. If you have any feedback or questions, you can reach us on witgirlspod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. I am SharePointBabe and Kristina is Bananism. We are also found on Instagram on the account witgirlspod. All our shows are available on SoundCloud, iTunes, Acast, Spotify, Stitcher and Color365. Please subscribe if you like our show. The music theme is made by Mikael Weisflog. Thank you so much for listening. Cheers!